Really, I will say about freak waves, but probably in the last 5 minutes of my talk, because it will be talk of Dyatchenko. He will discuss this subject in more details. But I like to, here is a mathematical institute, and I like my talk will be more mathematical than probably people expected. I will speak about the equation of free waves, of free surface hydrodynamic in conformal variables. So, the work is done together with Sasha Dyatchenko. This is a model, free surface and deep water. Everything can be done on finite depths. It's just for simplicity I use deep water. And water is incompressible, so potentials in potential flow is potential, so potential satisfied to the Laplace equation, and classical variables are potential on the surface and shape of the surface. This is a Hamiltonian system. This is a Hamiltonian system. It is kinetic energy. This is potential energy. Yeah, thank you. This is potential energy. Potential, because U will be used for another purpose. Well, the equation can be derived from the condition. How is it? No, but the button where? I see. This is the condition. This is action. This is a condition of minimization of action. And then we make a perform a conformal mapping to the low half plane. In the low half plane, the surface, shape of surface will be presented in a parametric form by two functions which are connected with Hilbert transform. So the action has the following form. And then you can minimization of action give you following equations of motion. Actually, this is potential energy. Here it is potential energy. H pot. Well, but it's no matter. So these equations are in for gravity waves looks like that. They are obtained there in our work in 92. A couple of years later, Balk observed that if this you express psi from this equation and plug to another equation, you will get an equation which is can be obtained by minimization of the Lagrangian with the potential energies like that. That's certainly true, but this implicit equation never were used. I just like to say that this equation is of course still Hamiltonian system, but written in not canonical variables. Second? Two projectors, right. Yes. I put it here. So you can express from here the psi and plug it into another equation. You get second order equation, which is the Euler-Lagrange equation for Lagrangian for this system. So this is a Hamiltonian system with symplectic structure is like that. It's not canonical symplectic structure. You see this is a symplectic form. It's closed symplectic form. And you can introduce such symplectic form for any Hamiltonian system, not specifically for this one. It's just a choice, a little bit freak choice of symplectic form. What's remarkable that this system can be resolved with respect to derivative y and psi, And after resolution, you get equation in the emplectic form, which makes possible to construct the Poisson brackets. And these are elements of the emplectic form. Again, it's written for arbitrary Hamiltonian, not specifically for this. Then you can make a complexification. Make a complexification, and complexification is like that. And this is already complexified. So all equation can be written in a complex form, again, for arbitrary Hamiltonian. What we do now, we just take an arbitrary Hamiltonian in a homogeneous medium with describing one canonical coordinate, one canonical action, and mutilate the Hamiltonian structure, right? And now, for what purpose? The equation takes this nice form. However, this very complicated coefficients, now you see that z looks like a transport equation in a complex plane, and this has only transport equation with the sources, right? Next important step was done by Dyachenko, and so we have two different types of equation. First, implicit equation, which it appears directly from minimization of action, or Lagrangian equations, in this, they also implicit because they do not resolve with respect to time derivative. And then they have symplectic structure. Then you have emplectic equation, which are resolved with respect to time derivative, but Poisson bracket is, of course, non-canonical. And you can make a natural complexification of this equation, which looks like that. And the next step was done by Dyachenko, and this very important step, really. You will see why you will see further. Then you introduce new variables like that, 1 by z prime and v. The equation takes the following form. Again, what's important, I can take arbitrary Hamiltonian system, for instance, describing a wave in dielectric, and derive it to this form. It's just my choice. What's good for this? What's good for, you will see what's good in this. You see that if for some special Hamiltonian, this equation have constant of motions. So for surface waves now, if we plug instead of Hamiltonian, what we have, this coefficient of this Hamiltonian U and B depends only on velocity. It coming only from kinetic energy, I can say. They have the following form. With the P, the projector operator, too low, half plane. Because, you know, everything now is analytic in low half plane because we perform it a canonical transformation. So this in the Dyachenko variables U and V has the following nice form. And now you can study several types of potential energies. This is a natural potential energy connected with gravity. It looks, give you the following last term in the equation P. This is the capillarity. And one nice form is if you use a canonical form in the following potential energy. This is a potential energy for a dielectric in a capacitor with the thin conducting surface. Again, you can do everything. And it's interesting that in this particular case, if no gravity, you can make a transformation and go to duality equation. So instead of two equations, you will get one equation connecting U and V by a linear relation. And this equation is nothing but, in one case, it's just equation of transport without changing trivial equation of transport. It depends on the sign of alpha. In another case, it's the Laplace growth equation. So we see now we have three different forms. First is implicit equation, then explicit equation in natural variable, then Dyachenko equations. What's the difference? You see, the difference is very, very important. Now about constant of motion. Souls, again, now look at this equation. Why I had mutilated my Hamiltonian structure? Look, because let me suppose, now look, I am in a complex plane. In the lower half plane, everything is analytic. The singularities are only in the upper half plane. Let me do some conjecture about the structure of singularity. Suppose I conjecture that, I decide that the singularity are cut type singularity. So the logarithmic branch point I have. And if I have a logarithmic branch point, and suppose I actually, I will assume that in the logarithmic branch point, this U, B, and P are regular functions. Of course, it's some restriction to the Hamiltonian, in very strong restriction. But suppose I manage to do this, what I immediately get, I get the following result. This A is a constant of motion. And moreover, lambda is carried by function u, which is locally local value of function u, and in presence of gravity, is in absence of gravity, B is also constant of motion. But in presence of gravity, this is not true. In presence of gravity, the ratio of B and A, in presence of gravity, derivative of this ratio is G. And this is a general theorem, just immediately coming from the form of this equation. Only what I need is the regularity of U, B, and P. The following integral is constant of motion, and the following relation holds. Yes, now a specific class of motion. And now, which Hamiltonian are allowed? Now I can prove that if my Hamiltonian, in my potential energy is gravity plus this potential energy which describes the electric fluid in capacitor, and that's okay. So the U, B, and P are regular. And moreover, this concept of motion, if they do exist, they commute. Well, for capillary waves, you can make a merging of two branch points to one and go further. In capillary case, you have to merge an even number of branch points to construct this concept of motion. So far, we don't understand this. Yes, I'm. Yes. It's very easy. It's very easy. It's almost trivial fact. Because the non-trivial fact to prove the regular, because if you take any arbitrary Hamiltonian, you will see that it will immediately, if you have a branch point in Z and phi, you immediately produce a branch point. At the same point, you will get a singularity in all these functions. And only special Hamiltonians, like gravity and some selected few Hamiltonians, in this Hamiltonian, this bridge, this singularity vanishes by constant. It's a very interesting fact. So I don't know so how to use this constant of motion so far. On the language, if we use the language of Dyachenko equation, this theorem exactly formulated in the following form. This singularity in the branch point of Z becomes a zero of R. And zero of R are robust, are structurally stable. So they just move along. in upper half plane, and the derivative of function in zero is a constant of motion, exactly the same. And if you have many zeros and no singularities at all in some area, you can go to so-called the approximation of high Jacobian approximation we published several years ago. In this case, the equation can be modeled by the Laplace-Gross equation, and it describes something like that formation of some fingers. All right. Another nice property of this equation is that this equation, if you look for singularity, I say that zeros in Vyachenko equation are structurally stable, but poles are not. And if you form a pole, its pole will transform to a cut, and cut will widen, and you can now write a but it will be still a cut, and if no gravity, the cut will be, you can construct a cut which is going exactly perpendicular, parallel to imaginary axis. And if you introduce a system of equation introduce the jumps on this cut, you can write a system of equation which will look like an equation of gauge dynamics, but not non-local, because they introduce not only local derivative, but also taking a Hilbert transform and a little bit more general integral operators. But we plan to develop the program for numerical solution of this equation, and I think I know how to do this, but I still will be discreet so far because it's not done. But it's very dangerous area, very difficult. You should be very cautious in your statements. But what I can do, I just can show you two things. First, there are two cases where we certainly know that equation can be solved. There is small parameter. One is approximation of narrow cut. Suppose that your cut is narrow with respect to the distance of this cut to real axis. In this case, you can consider the equation. You can introduce, this is the cut. This is a symmetric point in low half plane. And if the value of what we need a value of our variables is this symmetric point, if we consider that they are constant and function only on time, so we do neglect the dependence, then we can simplify equation, and the equation, we introduce some new variable like that, and this new variable equation becomes a complex Hopf equation, which can be solved. Exactly. So you can study the widening of dynamics of this cut, of course, until moment when the cut becomes so big that it is comparable with the distance to the real axis. Well, the wide of this cut goes proportional to root square on time. Another approximation is an approximation of almost flat surface. If you have almost flat surface, you can put R equal to 1. So you can consider that your conformal transformation is almost identical. And now only one equation survive for V, and this equation will be derived to the Hopf equation. So that's what I did. I prepared this transparency, and I have, I think, at least 10 minutes. No. I measure. And now I will do the most important statement. which is really fantastically statement. And this is a result of Dyachenko, and I'm very proud to have such disciple. Actually, you have three different type of equations. And it looks that you, that all of them are equivalent. They are, of course, the equivalent. That's certainly true. However, suppose you study in correctness, the well-posedness by Adamar in these equations. And you find, it's Sasha Dyachenko established, absolutely astonishing fact that the traditional so-called, well, equations, explicit equation written in standard variables are ill-posed, while the Dyachenko equation are well-posed. And many people worked and still do numerical simulation in conformal variables using these classical variables, but sorry, all these equations are ill-posed. What's the difference? The difference is following. If you look for, suppose you have Z and delta Z, and for standard equation, I call this imaginary part will look like that. This Z not prime, and this is a complex, plus minus, by the way. One of the roots is always is unstable because this is a complex number. For the Dyachenko equation, you have like that. Root square. In other words, the Dyachenko equation are well posed if your deviation from the surface is not too large. If you have negative vertical derivatives, they could be ill-posed, but you need to change the sign of G, which is really make physical sense. The standard equations, they are ill-posed always. And this is a very dramatic fact. It could be observed in numeric experiments. And now, what we will do now, we perform large scale experiment. In last 3 minutes, I will speak about freak waves. Everybody know about freak waves. This is a freak wave written in the Norway Sea, and this is a ship. Destroyed by a freak wave, even name. The experts say that typically two ships a week are lost due to freak waves. In the worldwide, it's a very serious problem. Now this is a simulation of modulational instability of Stokes wave in the Dyachenko equation. In the Dyachenko equation, the modulational instability is about a freak wave in the periodical box with average amplitude is 0.15 and slightly modulated by a long time modulation. This initial moment, and this is the final moment. We cannot make a calculation further. So I think that people obtain a similar result. For instance, Mike Bonner, but I have to say that it's very, very accurate experiment. We use a spectral cord and up to 2 million moods. And what happens, the shape, limiting shape of this, you see it's already vertical derivative. It will going to breaking. Second? It's a Gerchenko equation. Gerchenko equation, which I will post, yes. It's very important. And this was going on with distribution of horizontal energy, kinetic energy, just only horizontal, V square. This is some intermediate moment. This is the last moment before breaking. You see what happened. Let me conclude. I believe that the use of conformal mapping is a very powerful approach, making possible to solve both theoretical problems and numeric, and but it's of course a delicate subject, and you have to be very accurate in each your step. For instance, the checking of willfulness is not a mathematical freak. It's a real problem, which happened here. This equation could be very easily become ill-posed. Just change of variables. That's not, this very, it looks astonishing, because if you study the stability of equilibrium, the choice of variables is not important. But when you study stability of time-dependent trajectories, it's a different story, because your transformation now is time-dependent. We have to understand better the role of constant of motions, which we have discovered, and a possibility to construct exact solution, and a possibility to construct to study the nature of singularity appearing in so far open question. It's a very difficult area, by the by. I think Michael knows this very well. It's easy to ask, formulate question than to answer. Gerchenko equation is a powerful tool for numerical simulation of these equations. Because they are relatively simple, they are rendered to using of spectral code, because they're just cubic. They have a cubic polynomial, a cubic nonlinearity, and they are well posed. And so, that's it. Thank real. That's again, it's a typical, well, okay, it's the right question. The first equation right like this, yes? Suppose your velocity v is alpha plus I beta, d beta by dt plus 2 beta d beta by du is 0, right? And it is produce, give you some formation of singularity like that. Then you look for equation for second variable, which for correction, your r, which is 1 by z prime, is now 1 plus delta r. If you look for equation for delta r, you see that d by dt plus v d by du delta r is v perpendicular, which is Hilbert transform, actually alpha. Hilbert transform of this. Alpha prime. And now you, when you solve this equation, you find that at this moment you have here logarithmic singular, formation of logarithmic singularity. So you cannot go too far. And the next step, you have obstacle. It's, yeah. About what? I tell you exactly what I mean. I probably I don't know this work. I know CG, but I just give you exact result. I'll give you exact result. Can I erase this? You have equations like that. dz by dt is u zu. d phi by dt is u phi u minus b. Minus p, and suppose your solution is z is z naught plus delta z, and delta z is very high, very very rough. Delta z proportional e in omega t plus p u. Then you get the following result: your omega minus some real function square. I don't specify it. It could be written in closed form. This is root square on G modulus pi. That's okay. This is a dispersion relation for not root square. G modulus pi. This is a dispersion relation, but divided by Z naught bar prime. This is a formula. Now look, it's superposed. If it's complex function, if this z naught is a complex function, then one of two roots has a bad negative imaginary part. You can write it like that. It's a calculation. For 20 minutes of relatively easy, we can go repeat it. I did it by my own hands. First, of course, Sasha did it. Then he told me the result. I didn't believe like you, and I checked, and I got this result. But if you look for the Zinchenko equation and you solve this following problem, you get a different result. You get omega minus S square is GP, now like this, P again, then Z naught prime square, and this will be G plus some delta G. And this delta G actually could have, it's a real, but it could be negative. And if it's negative and more than G, it's again you'll pose problem. But it's not for small deviation, it's for big waves. But this is you'll pose for any arbitrary small. You have just a tiny deviation from so and you will see that formation of ripple will grow. That's what actually seen in numeric experiment if you do this carefully. It's a reason why it happened. Because the transformation between this equation, Z, actually R, which variable in the Zinchenko equation, is just root square prime on U. It's a nonlinear transformation. And when you make a linearization of this transformation, you get transformation time dependent. But time dependent transformation can turn stable to unstable and vice versa. Poles of what? In upper half. You mean the typically what you have here? Pole is of course some artificial initial data. Typically, you have system of cards. And in presence of gravity, they are just breaths like that. Yeah. Any initial data, even very smooth, presumes existence of some singularity in upper half plane. Because in the lower half plane everything is regular, and then the Liouville theorem. Because it's only a question how the singularity is posed. You can construct the system of poles, but it's not robust. They will immediately widen. But if you put the zeros, zeros survive. They will just move.